from an undisclosable location for reasons of security and therefore insecurity, and kind of prompts the question, what's the point? There is no such thing as an undisclosable location. You may not want to disclose it, but it's probably disclosable. Just not tonight. This is Coast to Coast AM, the Saturday night edition. I am John B. Wells, and I am delighted to be in with you tonight, following last night where I sat in for, when I sat in for George Norrie, and it was a lot of fun talking with you and talking with Mike Adams. I don't know, some of the subjects we were covering last night were not all that fun, but Mike and Dr. Steve Pachenik had some things to bring to the party that I just don't think you're going to hear anywhere else. And tonight, we'll speak with Tom Shadyac. He is a film director. He is he's behind Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and The Nutty Professor, Liar, Liar, Patch Adams, Bruce Almighty. But the thing is, Tom has had an awakening. In my hand, I'm holding his book, Life's Operating Manual, with the Fear and Truth Dialogues. And just to give you an idea, I'll just read a little passage from his book. It's a powerful thing to face your own death, how mortality can move one into action. And once I surrendered, a single thought came to mind. You cannot die without ever having told your story. You cannot die without ever having expressed who you truly are. He writes, you see, I had been changing my life for some 15 years, having woken up from our collective sleep, awakened to a vision of the world and how it works, to my own hypocrisy and the hypocrisy of a culture operating in opposition to that vision, a culture that has become lost in, as Thomas Merton said, the murderous din of our materialism. I was raised in this culture of excess, seduced by its empty charms and deluded into unconscious behaviors that I am now hopefully, prayerfully, and imperfectly undoing in an attempt to leave consumerism for compassion and move from material wealth to true wealth. So we'll talk with him at length, but for the first hour, I'll clue you in on a couple of stories that I found interesting. You might too. And then we'll do some open lines, since Friday night is typically the open line night. We did a little bit of open lines, but not near enough, because I always enjoy talking with you. And so we'll do this for the first hour. So if you know the numbers, well, you can start hitting them. And if you don't know the numbers, we'll give the numbers out, and we'll just rock and roll it all the way through the night. This one got my attention. This is from Global Research. The cashless society arrives in, yes, Africa, the multi-purpose biometric national identity smart card. Nigerian government partners with MasterCard to launch multi-purpose NISC. It was recently announced at the World Economic Forum in Cape Town, South Africa, that MasterCard and the Nigerian National Identity Management Commission, under the government of Nigeria, would form a partnership to distribute a new identity card to every Nigerian citizen. The purpose of the card is to have all Nigerian citizens participate in the financial services sector under the control of MasterCard, a multinational financial services corporation headquartered in New York. MasterCard's press release, MasterCard to Power Nigerian Identity Card Program, stated, as part of the program in its first phase, Nigerians 16 years and older and all residents in the country for more than 2 years will get the new multi-purpose identity card, which has 13 applications, including MasterCard's prepaid payment technology that will provide cardholders with the safest, convenient, and reliability of electronic payments. This will have a significant and positive impact on the lives of these Nigerians who have not previously had access to financial services. The program is also designed to move Nigeria into a cashless society, one that is dependent on financial institutions, Wall Street, and the Nigerian government. It will be managed by the financial elites of Wall Street, technocrats, and, of course, Washington. All forms of financial transactions would be exchanged through plastic credit and debit cards that would have implanted RFID chips. Them again. Michael Mybeck, president of the Middle East and Africa Division at MasterCard, supports the Nigerian government's decision for a new cashless society. Quote, today's announcement is the first phase of an unprecedented project in terms of scale and scope for Nigeria. You know, they rolled out the iris scan. Haven't heard a thing about it since it was announced. You know where they rolled that out? They rolled it out in Mexico. And they're rolling out the official cashless society protocol in Africa. So what do you think about that? This is very interesting. On the coasttocoastam.com website, a bright explosion on the moon, a boulder-sized object slammed into the moon, exploding in a flash that could be seen without a telescope. And in the news section, asteroid nine times the size of the QE2 to pass Earth. LHC creates tiny crops of Big Bang blood spatter. Flesh-eating disease victim gets bionic hands. And how electric spacecraft could fly NASA to Mars. This is kind of strange. Center City job fair for ex-offenders is canceled after 3,000 show up. The city of Philadelphia shut down a career fair for ex-offenders today. Well, it's yesterday. After an unexpected crowd of thousands showed up, resumes in hand. There were lots of disappointed job seekers and potential employers this morning. The city was expecting about 1,000 people to show up, but about three times that number were standing in a line that wrapped around the municipal services building across from City Hall. And when someone jumped the line, order collapsed. There was no yelling, no shoving, just 3,000 people all trying to get into the job fair at once. The deputy mayor for public safety says the space designated for the event could not handle the crowd, so they closed it down shortly after it began. We took as many resumes as we could, he told KYW News Radio, but those that did not have resumes, we told them we're going to reschedule. So, but that's excellent. Now, when a convict, an ex-offender, decides that maybe getting a regular job is better than trying to take down scores, I got to tell you, that gives me hope. It really does. Google whistleblower reveals massive tax avoidance scheme, ready to hand over a catch of 100,000 emails to UK authorities. This is all about running their business through Ireland and dodging the English tax, which is seen as completely unfair because, well, English subjects don't have the power to run their money through another country, even if it is part of it, at least part of it is part of the United Kingdom. And it's just one of those things. It just never stops. The First Lady expands her obesity fight to zoos. Yes, we cannot have overweight animals either. Terrified passengers escape alive as flight makes a belly landing at Newark Airport after the landing gear failed. This is today. U.S. Airways flight with 34 people on board was forced to make a dramatic belly landing at Newark International Airport last night. Terrified passengers managed to escape the plane unharmed after the plane's pilot, named by witnesses as Edward Powers, performed an heroic emergency landing. Video footage of the turboprop twin-engine plane coming down on the runway showed a dramatic shower of sparks flying from its underbelly as it scraped across the tarmac. However, miraculously, no fire was started and no one was injured. So, nice work, Captain. Very good. Yeah, you know, those things are pretty spectacular. I've seen a couple of gear-up landings before. And as the aviators say, the biggest problem with general aviation is that people do gear-up landings. And it is said that there are those who have had gear-up landings and there are those who will have gear up landing. So that's one of those things you kind of need to watch out for, or you're liable to shower the area with sparks. Might not be as fortunate as these people. Russia has revealed the identity of the CIA Moscow chief. That doesn't sound good, but they're going to put it behind them pretty good. And Mr. Beckham has given up the old football career. He bade a tearful Parisian farewell on Saturday as the former England star made his final appearance at the Parc des Princes for Ligue 1 champions Paris Saint-Germain before heading into retirement. Well, he's 38 years old and he's retiring. But, you know, he's a He may wouldn't it wouldn't surprise me at all if he showed up in a a Jason Statham film. Those action adventure films. 13% of middle-aged men are quitting their jobs to take care of their parents. This is from the Japan Times. Middle-aged men are quitting paid work to care for elderly parents in increasing numbers, a new study shows. According to the study by the Institute for Research on Household Economics, 13.4% of men aged between 40 and 64 living with parents requiring nursing care had quit their jobs at some stage to tend to the relatives, compared with 27.6% of women facing the same situation. Egypt is suffering its worst economic crisis since the 1930s. And the council vetoes the flag of St. George after concerns raised about links to crusades. Yes, a local council decided, this is from the Telegraph in England, a local council decided against flying the flag of St. George after concerns were raised that it would offend the town's 16 Muslim residents. 16, not 16,000, just 16. And, there's more, and we'll sprinkle them in as we go along, but I'll leave you with this. In a decade, speaking of the UK, Islam could supplant Christianity in the UK, study predicts. Christianity has long been and still is the dominant religion of the UK, but stats from a 2011 census study have recently emerged, which suggests soon those Brits could be ditching it in favor of Islam. According to the Office for National Statistics, although 50% of Brits say they're Christian right now, aging believers and an influx of Islamic immigrants over the past decade means that experts predict there will be more Muslims than Christians in 10 years. It seems the number of atheists is also on the increase, too, with 25% saying they don't believe in any big guy in the sky. So there you are. I wonder if any of this is, I wonder if it portends the future of this country. You know, Sharia is popping up here and there. In fact, I believe the state is Tennessee. They were having some issues up there, and the reports are they're drifting in slowly but surely, but they are drifting. So I'll tell you what, let's take a little break here. Head for the phones. Now, somebody wanted to know, what is a proper cup of tea exactly? I'll explain that. Tea is one of those things which, unlike coffee, it's possible to become a coffee snob. It really is. Some is better than other. But with tea, the proper cup of tea is, don't rush it. Be diligent in your making of your tea. Now, if you want a little energy boost, just with regular Chinese black tea, good old English breakfast tea, if you brew it for a minute to a minute and a half, the caffeine is released and you'll get a nice little pick-me-up. However, if you want to relax, then you need to let it go between 2 and 3 minutes. That way the tannins kick in, caffeine effect is diminished, and it lays you back rather than jacking you up. Okay, so go make yourself one, and we'll be back with your calls and a few more news items as we head toward the next hour, when we'll speak with Tom Shadyac, his book, Life's Operating Manual, on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome. All right, so let's commence with Naked Lines. Not naked callers, just Naked Lines. And let's speak with James, wildcard line number one in L.A. How are you, James?
I just wanted to throw a few things out at you that your listeners should really know. They're having all these hearings about the IRS and all that silly business. Well, the IRS and the Federal Reserve System are foreign agencies. They're not part of America. That's why Congress and the President and all of that's all probably BS, because I don't think they can do anything about it. It was Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, that put Obama in, and I think the Federal Reserve has probably elected most every president since 1913. The only one that went against them big time was Kennedy.
Now, you know, last night, Steve Pachenik said that, Dr. Steve Pachenik said nothing happened up at Sandy Hook. I was all staged and all that, and I'm sitting here, I'm listening to this. He has a lot of credentials there, so I'm like, okay, well, clearly the man is, he's gotten around a little bit. He's no dummy. But, when you throw out stuff like that, James, people are going to go, okay, Wells, are you not going to challenge him? It's like, well, I don't know who runs the world, but I'm thinking you're making kind of a good case for it. So tell me how you come to have this information. Is this deduction, or do you have an actual paper trail?
There's one case, actually, out of, I believe it's Idaho. It's Diversified Metal Products versus the IRS et al. The case number is CV93-405E-EJE. And the tax attorney from the United States Justice Department admitted in open court that the IRS is not part of America. I've seen
the IRS is not part of America. That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not trying to just bilk this, but so what are they a part of exactly?
They're foreign. They're part of an international trust, which actually I think the postal thing started in around 1874, and now it's probably had, you know, several updates. There, I can give you the name of the, let's see, I'm trying to find it now, the name of, there's a treaty that's the United Nations treaty, oh, here it is, it's the United Nations, it's with the IMF, the United Nations, and the postal,
where'd you go?
Switzerland. I can give you the exact name of it if you want it. It's called the United Nations Convention on International Bills of Exchange and International Promissory Notes and the Universal Postal Union headquartered in Bern, Switzerland. That's what we're under. We're not under the Constitution. We're under a treaty. That's the only reason these two agencies can exist, as far as I can see.
Well, that makes sense, because Switzerland has been, that place runs right, for one thing, and they've been immune to all of the late unpleasantness, certainly of the last 100 years. So, you know, just that fact kind of makes a strong statement for this. So, what does this portend for us? Are you suggesting that we are just at the mercy of the money people across the ocean blue, or in this case green, and that's just how it is? Or,
well,
are you?
I know a lot of people have been fighting them for years and years and years, and if we don't get rid of them, well, we'll never be free, because these are the evil ones that control they're called the dark cabal, the bankers and the evil ones that are controlling and pulling the strings with everyone. That's why the Congress does almost nothing, and there's a few good ones in Congress, but not very many, and they control it. So what can I say? You've seen and heard all the horror stories out of Washington, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this. You sound like a thinking guy. What can you suggest? I take it you perceive that the country is headed toward an economic problem, if not a complete collapse, and there's talk of the Amero and talk about deliberately crashing the dollar, making it useless, turning it into the last peso before the current peso, where, you know, it was 1,000 pesos to the dollar and the currency was useless. You could have had a suitcase full of it. It was worth nothing after they changed currency.
Right.
So what are you suggesting that we could do, or can you suggest anything?
Well, the only thing I've heard of are the spiritual changes that are supposed to be headed our way very soon. There's been, according to what I've heard and understood, about 20 million people that have been working on this secretly in 130 countries since 9/11 to make it happen. That's the only thing I know, unless the people just rise up. We haven't had a Treasury Department since 1921. It's run by the IRS also. And if you see something that comes from the IRS, a letter or something, it'll say Department of the Treasury. It doesn't,
right.
It doesn't say United States Treasury. It says Department of the Treasury.
So well, that's true.
Actually, that's mail fraud.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be pretty interesting, don't you think? I suppose we're just going to have to strap in and ride it out because, you know, from the Sandy Hook thing there was a debate up there. Is this illegal for the IRS to target groups? And the man said, I don't believe it is. So I take it that under this treaty that it's not illegal for the IRS to target anybody they want to.
No, it's not constitutional. It's under treaty. Also, the Constitution, you know, has always prohibited a direct tax on anybody unless it was apportioned equally among everyone in the country.
That's right.
That's still there. There were 25 or 30 Supreme Court decisions on that years ago. Until this locked itself in, I guess, after the Federal Reserve sometime and what Roosevelt did in 1933, taking our gold away and turning the country over to the IRS and Federal Reserve, basically.
I appreciate your call very much, James. That was quite an eye-opener. I heard a report recently, within the last week, that there was a big big moving of the gold from Fort Knox, because there have been rumors that it's not around anymore. Is Fort Knox full of gold, or is it empty? And this report would suggest that, yes, it was full of gold, all right, and now it's somewhere else. We'll be back with your calls in just a minute on Coast to Coast AM. And remember, everything you say is being recorded. Well, thank you very much. You know, anybody that wants to know, what song was that? Well, this song here is Six Underground by Sneaker Pimps. Yeah, I know. Good song, though. I'm not really sure what that means. Here, I'll rent you my sneakers for an hour. I don't think so. Anyway, we're going to be speaking with Tom Shadyac pretty soon, film director of many a blockbuster hits, and his first book is Life's Operating Manual. And he writes, a word of warning, if you're reading Life's Operating Manual hoping to discover the 10 steps to fix your life, you're in for a disappointment. This book is not about 10 steps. It's about one. Understanding the simple but significant principle that when truly embraced and embodied changes everything. Ralph Waldo Emerson, my personal favorite thinker, understood this all too well. He left the Unitarian ministry to write about it. He communicated it to Harvard's Divinity School and was not invited back for 30 years. Virtually all of his essays and lectures, when boiled down to their essence, are about this one idea. The same can be said of Gandhi's writings, Martin Luther King Jr.'s speeches, the teachings of Lao Tzu, and the poetry of Rumi. It's an idea that crosses space and time, cultural upbringings, and religious divides. It's an idea that can shoot an arrow of infinite understanding into your heart. And remember, the Buddha was not said to be wise, but awake. That is the hope of this book, to awaken the reader, to lay bare this idea, this principle, in all of its simplicity, its power, and its perfection. I have a feeling this is going to be really, really good, a very, very good talk with Tom Shadyac here shortly. So let's do this quick break and then get right back to your calls. Everybody just hold your position and we'll get to you if we can. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. John being with you for the night. You know, it's very interesting. Somebody sent an email saying, you know what? I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if you're processing your voice, you know, what you're doing. But if you're using an Electro Voice RE20, that thing is meant to beef up the bottom end on these, for radio announcers, so it'll be a little bit thicker sound and so forth. It's like, no, I'm not using that at all. In fact, I'm kicking it at about 10,000, every bit of 8 dB. So I'll back off from it a little. You know, that's the thing with AM radio. It's real bass heavy, and FM radio is kind of treble heavy. So they can't help you with that. But whatever. No, there's no voice processor on it at all. Maybe I should get a harmonizer and raise it up a little bit. Okay, wildcard line number two. Bob in Wisconsin, how are you tonight? Come on the bridge and chat with us.
Wells.
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Permission to come aboard.
Oh, permission granted. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. I got a short statement and a shorter question.
Hit me.
The short statement is, with all these people winning these humongous amounts of lottery monies, wouldn't it be a great opportunity if every one of them would help reopen a closed factory?
that's a really good idea. I saw an article yesterday. There's something like 7,000, over 7,000 deserted commercial buildings in Detroit.
Empty, yeah.
Yeah, it was such a rockin' town. That place was so smoking hot for so many years, just industry and productivity, and it's really in trouble now.
And imagine what we could do to compete with what's going on over there. My question, this came to me one night.
Yes.
Each one of us was born with an appendix, and if they burst, we die.
Yes.
Can any of those elements within that appendix be used to combat the cancers that some people get stricken with?
You know, nothing would surprise me. It seems to me that outside of a sort of a bizarre synthesis, all the medications that we take come from animal, vegetable, mineral. It's something that already exists. We just don't create these treatments out of nothing. I don't know about that. You know, years ago, people found relief from arthritis symptoms, the swelling, and of course, the accompanying pain by using hornet venom.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's possible. I'll tell you.
Last night that I was going to try to get in because he was talking about cancer and stuff.
And I often wondered, you know, they always say they don't know what the purpose of the appendix is. Well, maybe that's what it was meant for. I don't know.
Well, you know, they used to take out the tonsils and the adenoids, and that's been stopped. And in the 50s, they were killing the thyroid gland with radiation. They pretty much quit doing that, too.
Big mistake.
But then back in the day, they were putting leeches on you to, I presume, lower your blood pressure. So, you know, that's why they call it practicing medicine.
Those are my two profound things. My one opportunity on Coast to Coast. I've been listening since Art Bell, really long time now, and keep up.
You know, I get a lot of emails. Bob, you know, I get a lot of emails from people that say, you know, that whether they're complimentary or not, they'll mention Art. And you know, those were really halcyon days when Art got the program rolling and everything was still out there. So many of the conspiracies that were suggested by things going on had not been fully explored. The UFO thing and Bigfoot and even the shadow governments and even shadow people. These were things that were, you know, for the woo-woo crowd. But now as the decades have gone by, the Air Force, for example, was, yes, we're looking into this UFO thing. It's serious. We can't disclose the information. Get out of here, knucklehead, and that's it. And we don't want you talking about this. Now they're sort of like, UFO people, that's just woo-woo. And it's whenever they start doing that, you know that it's that it's real. There was an innocence, believe it or not. I think it was an innocence in our thinking back in the mid-90s where these things were still to be explored. But now that we've explored them and we find that a lot of them are real, now what are we going to do? It's almost like launching a nuclear weapon. It's the best, that weapon is best serves you best if it's in the shed, because if you ever use it, certainly you're going to have to use another one, or you're going to have to be on the receiving end of one. It's the same thing with knowledge. Now that we know that some of the stuff we were playing with is real, now we have there's a responsibility incumbent upon us to follow it up or just wantonly remain in ignorance. I appreciate your call very much. Let's talk to Craig. He's in Connecticut on Wild 4. How are you, Craig?
Admiral Wells. Yeoman, permission to come aboard.
Admiral. Well, thank you very much, and certainly permission granted. Great to have you here. What's going on?
Well, between the chemtrails and the shadow people, I just want to let you know on Ian Pundit's New Year's Eve prediction show, I think I was number 97.
Yes.
I said the Amtrak Osceola train would crash in Madison, Connecticut. Now, yesterday, as you know, there was a big train wreck with the Metro North. That occurred in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So that was a commuter train that crashed. It was only 30 miles off of my prediction. What do you think? Will I get a bing for that?
Well, you definitely get some kudos, you know, and maybe a little bar for your uniform. Now, have you done this before? I mean, do you make predictions? Is this something that you do as an avocation or a hobby or just an amusement?
You know, I was sitting there and I was really giving it some deep thought. And I always made fun of my friend Chris because he bought a house right next to the train tracks. So I said, one of these days the train is going to crash into your house, you know? And another person I know, Vinny Penn, a DJ, wants to buy a house right next to the train tracks, and I told him not to buy the house next to the train tracks. So would you feel comfortable living next to a train track?
Not based on what I've seen, these unmanned remote control engines, the cars that they pull are quite interesting here over the last couple of years. In fact, I have no idea what they're for, but they have odd rows of small windows in them, and you look into the cab and there's nobody in there. In fact, there's a rail station. The short answer is no, I would not want to be anywhere near a rail line. I just think that's asking for it, but that's just me.
I think you missed your calling as a Motown singer.
Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you. You remind me of a sober Riley Martin.
Well, thanks for the call. Take care, Craig. Let's go right away to Les in Fairlawn, New Jersey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I tried to get through when you were interviewing Judge Gray about the war on drugs. Couldn't get through, but I want to mention the same thing now.
Sure.
On the program, The Good Wife, A lawyer and her kids were stopped by some drug police. They didn't have any drugs, but they got into a little argument. So then they did some research. They found out that the road they were on, in one direction, it was often used to smuggle drugs into the United States. In the other direction, it was often used to carry drug money. I think it was on its way to be laundered. And they found out that the police almost never stopped cars on the side of the road where drugs were smuggled into the United States. Mostly they stopped cars on the side of the road where drug money was being carried.
Do you know
In other words,
is?
According to this program, the police weren't even trying to stop drugs from coming into the United States. They just wanted to forfeit the drug money, which pays for their salaries. Now, is this true?
I don't know if it's true or not, but I do know that if you're found carrying, I believe the magic number is 10,000. If you're carrying $10,000 in cash and you get pulled over, it's subject to seizure, and you will have to prove that it is not the result of criminal activity.
All right. Well, this is not anything personal about me, but the point they were trying to make is that the police, at least according to this program, want drugs to come into the United States because that basically pays the drug money, pays for their jobs. If they stopped the drugs, there wouldn't be so much drug money and they wouldn't have so many jobs. So I'm just concerned whether this really happens or not. You know, it's corrupt.
Well, pretty much anything that you can think of as far as human beings acquiring money has a tendency to be true. And one of the things that we discussed on that program was how we would be with Judge Gray was neither advocating nor rejecting the proposition that drugs should be legal. It's just that we're concentrating on pot, mainly because, you know, as we know, all those drugs were legal back in the day, back in the, well, before the 19, I can't remember what year, I want to say 33, when the Federal Bureau of Narcotics was created. And there were assertions that certain industrialists wanted to control the drug industry. Now, this seems to be true. Look, that's the thing about capitalism. It's the only thing about capitalism that gets me a little bit is that it must continually expand. So now we have corporations patenting genes, you know, your genes. And so, no, none of this would surprise me. We explored during that conversation with Judge Gray, do you think that if from coast to coast, pot, just pot, was legalized, do you think that that would so anger the cartels that are making the money from this that they might actually come after some of the authorities who were permitting this legislation to go through that would approve the legality of just marijuana? That was the control case. And of course, Judge Gray said, "Well, yeah, I think so." And nobody likes being. I mean, somebody will smack you on the head with a brickbat over a cigarette, let alone, you know, a few billion dollars. So this doesn't surprise me at all. It's and people in the police departments, they've got a tough job. They deal with people that we don't want to run into. They deal with people that microwave their babies and beat their family members and, again, you know, kill people over a cigarette. So, and they're not paid enough to justify in any way that kind of exposure. So this doesn't surprise me. And if they think that it's illegal money anyway, then robbing a robber, probably ethically and morally in the minds of those who take that money, is really not criminal. Hope that comes close. Anyway, thanks. Thanks, Les. Appreciate you. Bobby Truckin' in the Donner Pass. Bobby, are you there? How you doing?
How are you doing?
All right.
Good. Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. And let's be real fast because I'm about to come up on a spot where I'm sure I'm going to lose you because I'm in the mountains right now. But anyway, gotcha. I wanted to, first of all, thank you for who you are. And you've got to be one of the greatest interviewers I've ever heard. But I guess what I'm asking is, if possible, if you can at least think about it, the both guests you had on last night for the first hour and the second part of the show, Dr. Steven, I would really love if you could just you could sit down with them and just interview them for the entire show because they were so knowledgeable. And the stuff they talked about, as much as I don't want to believe what they were saying, is totally possible that it's all true.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's scary. Like you said, it's sick. It's scary. And we as a nation, as people, need to get band together and start calling our congressmen, our senators, and get this stuff stopped.
Well, we've let it get quite a ways out of our hands.
Absolutely.
It's funny. You know, I was thinking, there I went thinking again, and I thought, you know, the people who are, regardless of their ideology, left, right, center, whatever, anarchist, whatever they may be, most of them that are members of the two official sides, it's almost as though politics with them and the voting process and their opinions on this or that as far as society's conduct and how a business of the society should be conducted, it's almost as though it's an avocation or a hobby. And I say that because, and they're in a serious hobby, as serious as any serious stamp collector, because the vast majority of them, they're producing. They go to work. They have jobs. And so it's not really so much, I think, that they're fighting with the ideals. I think it's more like they're fighting with each other. That is the level of their participation. It has nothing to do with the higher ideals. You know, ology means study. Ideal means perfect. What would be ideal? So an ideology would be then the study of what is perfect, whether it's, and most people take it to mean regarding the behaviors of a civilization. The thing is it is just an enormous distraction. Now, going back to that thing that you just brought up, and thanks for the call, Bobby, appreciate you. This breast cancer thing is serious. Anybody who has known someone, a loved one, who has suffered this disease, sometimes it works out and sometimes it does not. This is an extraordinarily sensitive issue. This pulls tears and rage out of people. And that wasn't the idea. The idea wasn't to just reject anything new that might help a person that you care about, even if it's yourself and you're dealing with it solo. The idea is to inform. Again, we bring people on. If somebody wants to come on the program and make a total dumpski of themselves, we let them. If someone wants to come on the program and make a scintillating genius of themselves, we will let them. But after they've spoken to us and we find that what they have spoken about is interesting, it's up to us to follow it up. Most people will not do this. They'll just take what they hear and they'll run with that. Most people don't have time to follow it up. So whenever you hear something that strikes you as outrageous, just roll with it for a second, particularly if you don't know, because even if it's a completely just incredible paragraph of information, it may yield one or two good things that will lead you down another path and take you to something that is viable and valuable. Dion, first-time caller, Prescott, Wisconsin. How are you, Dion? Dion, we call you.
Doing great, Brother Wells. How are you?
Doing all right, thank you.
I say brother because I have yet to find anything in the last couple of years of listening to you that I didn't agree with you on.
Well, we're both in trouble now, brother.
I thank you for your efforts. I thank you for everything that you do and the people that you bring on your show. And the only thing I want to say to the American public is this. It is we the people. That's the common theme throughout all the documents that the Founding Fathers wrote. We the people, not I, not me. Because I and me, we can't do much. But we can accomplish everything. So if we stand united, we win. If we allow them to keep us divided, we'll lose.
Well said. That's very well. Must not allow ourselves to become comfortably numb to the point that we have listened to so much that we just give up because we can't really take any more. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Dion. I appreciate your complimentary messages. And let's get ready for Tom Shadyac. This will be a very, very interesting discussion. He's articulate. His book is brilliant. And I believe that you will enjoy it quite a lot. Tom Shadyac is next on Coast to Coast AM.